Genesis 22 and the 14th verse. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. You will know that for almost a year we have been studying on Thursday nights the life of God's servant Abraham. I suppose one sad thing about that is that some of you have never been there for any of those studies. That is a disappointment. Some of you have heard one or two of them along the way. So we did say before, and we take the opportunity to say it to you again, we want to encourage you to come out a little more to the meetings as we enter into this new year, the anniversary year, and as we think, brethren and sisters, of special meetings that will be held, I want to encourage you to give every support to those meetings, and especially to the prayer meetings of the church. But we have been studying the life of Abraham. There'll be a few more messages in the new year to bring that series of studies to a close. Often what happens when you engage in a series is that as you do the reading and the preparation, there are many themes that come up before you. We haven't dealt with all the themes that maybe we could have during the year. But in recent weeks, as we were preparing, we've been looking through Genesis 22. We brought at least a couple of messages on the chapter. There were some thoughts that came to my heart that I felt would be appropriate for the final Sunday morning of the old year. And I want to leave those with you very quickly, just at the end of our meeting this morning. I mentioned George Whitfield to you. Could I emphasize another great servant of God that you ought to read about, and that is Hudson Taylor, the missionary to China, the founder of the China Inland Mission. Hudson Taylor in his home had a plaque that hung upon the wall, and it had upon that plaque two Hebrew words. You may not know very much Hebrew. I hope before you go away this morning you'll at least know two Hebrew words. One was Ebenezer, and the other was Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh found in our text, Ebenezer found in 1 Samuel 7, verse 12. Samuel raised a stone between Mizpah and Shen, and he called it Ebenezer, saying, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." And those two stones, or those two words rather, they were great encouragement to Hudson Taylor through his life. As he looked back, he could say, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped me. It's only been by the Lord's help, the Lord's strength, the Lord's blessing that I have continued." And remember, the Apostle Paul said that, "Having continued help of the Lord, we continue to this day." And then as Hudson Taylor looked forward, his eyes were still upon the Lord, and he knew whatever difficulties, whatever situations arose, the Lord would provide for him. And how appropriate those two Hebrew words are on a Sunday such as this. As you look back personally over this year and over your life, you have to say Ebenezer. "Hitherto hath the Lord helped me." It's only been by his help. When you think of all the difficulties you've been through, maybe in recent weeks and months, and the struggles and the pressures and the worries and the fears, the only way that you've continued has been by his help, by his strength, and by his blessing. And as you face the future, whatever the future might hold, whatever this new year will bring, you remember Joshua standing on the brink of the River Jordan, about to lead the children of Israel into the promised land, and he was able to say, "You've not passed this way heretofore." And that's true of us all, however young or old you might be. The new year that is soon to come, we've not passed this way before. We're passing over ground and territory that is new to each one of us. And whatever men and women, whatever difficulties, whatever circumstances this new year will bring for you, here's a word you take with you. Jehovah Jireh. In other words, the Lord will see, or the Lord will provide. And you know, men and women, that is true not just of you individually and your family, But it's true of us as a church and as a church family, those two words, as we approach what is to be in the will of God a double anniversary year. And we can say as we look back, 40 years from this building was opened, 50 years from this congregation was founded, we can say hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Why has this witness continued despite all the opposition? And you know a little of the early opposition. There is a clip of Dr. Paisley preaching about it at the 40th anniversary services down in the King's Hall, and some Sunday we'll show you a little bit of that clip. But all the opposition that was raised, all the difficulties, all the troubles and trials there's been, how is it, men and women, that this work has continued? Well, Ebenezer tells the story. Hitherto hath the Lord helped. It's been the Lord's help, and it's been the Lord's blessing that has kept this witness and kept this church to this day. And as we face the future too, as we face a new year, and in the will of God, many years that are yet to come, as we face them all, Jehovah Jireh, men and women, is our confidence. Jehovah Jireh is our watchword as we look to the future. He will provide for us all that is required. And I want us to think of Jehovah Jireh this morning, just for a little time. I want you to think about the Lord's provision, both for you individually and for us collectively as a congregation. Remember what I emphasized to you last week? We were talking about the sacred name of Christ, and we talked a little about the name Jehovah. Remember, men and women, this is a very rare occurrence. It's a verse that you should mark, Genesis 22:14. It's a very rare occurrence of the usage of the name Jehovah. You don't actually find the word Jehovah very many times in our authorized version of the scriptures. So take note of it. Remember, there are what are known as the great Jehovah titles. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Shammah, and so on. In actual fact, there are 10 of them in all. Not in every instance in the authorized version is the name Jehovah actually given. It is written sometimes as the Lord. That's why I took the 23rd Psalm as part of the order of service today. The Lord, Jehovah, is my shepherd, I shall not want. In a sense, that opening verse of Psalm 23 is Jehovah Jireh as well. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Because you know the Lord, because you know him personally, because your trust is in the good shepherd that gave his life for the sheep, because of that fact, you will never want. Whatever happens, however dire the circumstances, the Lord will provide for you as his people. And I want to encourage you to take time to look for all of those great Jehovah titles and learn their meanings. It has been suggested that all of them can be found in one way or another in Psalm 23. And that's an interesting study as well. If you have Mr. Bullinger's Companion Bible, Dr. Paisley was a great advocate of the Companion Bible, particularly because of the appendices that were found at the back of it. There is a list given in one of those appendices of all the Jehovah titles that are found in the scriptures. So we're going to think today about Jehovah Jireh. I want you to think of, where does the Lord provide? Well, the text says it happened in the Mount of the Lord. Remember, the Mount of the Lord was Moriah or Calvary, and how precious that place is to us as God's people. The Mount of the Lord. There's no other mount in a sense that could be described in that way, because that's the place where the Lord Jesus died for our sins. But what I want to emphasize is we're thinking of, where does the Lord provide? In Abraham's case, Mount Moriah or Calvary was the right place. It was the place the Lord had led him. He was a man that was in the right place with God. He was in the place of God's appointment. Right back at the beginning of the chapter in verse 2, the Lord told him, the Lord's clear command to Abraham was he was to go to Mount Moriah. And remember, it wasn't an easy place. It wasn't an easy thing the Lord asked of a servant. It wasn't an easy path the Lord asked him to tread at this particular time. It was a pathway of extreme trial. Just to emphasize to those that haven't been at the Bible studies on Thursday night, when it says in verse 1 that God did tempt Abraham, that means the Lord was trying him. The Lord was testing him. The book of Hebrews chapter 11 gives us the divine commentary upon that. He was in the right place with God, but the place the Lord led him was a place of great trial. And that reminds us, brethren and sisters, that the Lord can lead you into tribulation. And maybe that has been the case with you in recent days, in this last year. Maybe tribulation that very few other people know anything about. Keep in mind, as you think of Abraham here, you're not out of the will of God. Some people might want to tell you are. They might want to suggest to you that because of what's happening in your life is because you're out of the will of God. Remember, sometimes the Lord leads us into the place of trial, into the place of testing. The same was true of Elijah. The Lord led him to Cherith or Kerith, depending on how you want to pronounce it. And then he led him to Zarephath. And Zarephath means the smelting place or the furnace. The Lord actually led him into the furnace. And what a trial, what a furnace of affliction it was. But remember, even when the Lord led Elijah to those places, he provided for him. The ravens brought him the bread and flesh at Kerith, and the widow woman, her barrel of meal wasted not, and the cruse of oil, until the day that God sent rain upon the earth. The important thing, men and women, as we look out into the new year, is to be in the right place with God. And if you are, the Lord will provide for you all that you will need. I want to ask you that question. Just ponder it very carefully. Put it to every Christian in the meeting how important it is as the year is ending. We look to the future. Are you in the will of God? Can you say that today? There's no better place. In fact, there's no other place that you ought to be as a Christian other than in the will of God. And I wonder, is that true of you today? Are you in the right place with God? You think too of, when does the Lord provide? Well, the Lord provided for Abraham just when he needed it. Just when he needed a ram. Just when he needed something to put upon the altar. Just when he needed something to offer to God. Just at the very right time. At the appropriate moment, the Lord provided for his servant. It's interesting just to think the Lord provided one ram. He didn't bring a whole flock. He didn't bring a large number. He just provided at the right time what Abraham needed at that moment. And when, my friend, when will the Lord provide for you? You think of all the needs that you have. Well, you keep in mind, the Lord will provide for you all that you require, every need you have. He'll provide it just at the right moment. I think the book of Hebrews sums it up very well. Do you know that great verse, Hebrews 4:16, we're to come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy? Can I emphasize that exhortation? Take time to pray. Take time to seek the Lord, to bring your burdens, your concerns to him. We're to come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. When will the Lord provide the grace and mercy? And remember, men and women, those are our greatest needs as his people. We need his grace. All the trials, the struggles, the difficulties. How will you get through all of those things? Just by his grace and his mercy. And remember, you get them at the throne of grace. You get those things bestowed upon you at the place of prayer. Peter wrote about grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Aren't those great blessings, men and women? Those are things that money cannot buy. It doesn't matter what else you have and what else you own. If you don't have grace and you don't have peace, if you're troubled and your life's in turmoil and your mind's in turmoil, just think of how difficult your existence is going to be. But he can multiply his grace and his peace to you. And Paul, writing to the Hebrews, says he does it in time of need. When the need arises, when the time of need comes, he'll give you the grace. He'll give you the mercy. He'll give you the peace. And he will give to you every provision that you require. D.L. Moody, going to America, there was a storm arose on the boat, and he was very, very troubled about it. He was terrified at the thought he was going to die. And that troubled him all the more because he was a Christian and a child of God, and he ought not to be worried about death. And he did what I've exhorted you. He prayed about it. He got down on his knees. And the Lord brought some thoughts to him that were a comfort. And the thought was, you know, Moody, the reason why I haven't given you grace to die is because you're not going to die for a wee while yet. I have still a work for you to do. And whenever the time comes for you to die, I'll give you the grace and the help that you need. John Wesley said that Charles, our people die well. God's people die well. There's grace to live and there's grace to die, men and women. And God gave Moody the grace. I think the story of his death is one of the sweetest that you will read anywhere. When Moody was slipping from this world, he uttered the words, "Heaven is opening, earth is receding, Christ is calling, and I must go." When did he give the grace to die, men and women? In the time of need. When the time of death actually came. And that's true of you. You're worrying about needs that maybe the actual thing that you think you need, you don't need it for maybe a week or 10 days or a fortnight or a month. Remember, when the time comes, the Lord will provide for you all that you require. There's times that we're late. You might even have been late with some of the things over Christmas, some of the cards, some of the gifts. Times we're late. But he's never late, men and women. He sees. You think of the alternative meaning. The Lord will see. Well, the Lord sees. The Lord sees everything. It's not a sobering thought this morning. He sees you, sees every detail of your life, all that takes place, all that you do, and so on. The Lord sees. But in the context of Jehovah Jireh, it especially means the Lord sees your circumstances. He sees your situation. He sees your extremity. He sees your difficulty. He sees the greatness of your need. And just at the very moment that you need that need required, there's a lot of needs in that sentence, isn't there? At the very moment that you need or you require that need to be supplied, he will do it for you. You think of the children of Israel as they came to the River Jordan, 40 years of marching in the wilderness, and they're about to enter into the promised land, and they came to the River Jordan, and it stands there like a great obstacle before them. They can't enter in because of the waters of the river. But the Lord opened up the way. And you know when he did it, men and women? Just when it was needed. They were marching across the wilderness, and the waters of the river were flowing just as usual. In actual fact, until the priests put their feet into the water, that's when the waters opened. That's when God stopped the flow of the river and allowed them to pass through in the time of need, just at the very moment that they required it. So don't be troubling too much about tomorrow or next week or needs that you'll have next year. The Bible says sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Take no thought for tomorrow. That doesn't mean you're not to plan and to make preparations. It's teaching we're not to be overly troubled, overly anxious about tomorrow and about the future. We have enough to contend with. We have enough to look after. We have enough to handle with all the difficulties of today, men and women. And whenever the time comes, the Lord will look after you. And he will, as the book of Philippians says, he will supply your every need according to his riches in glory. I have three other little thoughts that I intended to bring to you about this matter of God's provision. I'm going to finish. I'll tell you one other thing before I do finish. But maybe some other time. There's a question of how does the Lord provide? There's a question of who does God provide for? And the question of why can you be sure that the Lord will provide for you? Maybe sometime we'll take all of those up again. I want to mention this as a finish. We've been highlighting the lives of some great servants of God. We've mentioned Whitfield and Hudson Taylor, the Wesleys. You think of John Bunyan, the immortal dreamer. In John Bunyan's story, Pilgrim's Progress, one of the characters that Pilgrim met on his journey to the Celestial City was known as Mr. Facing Both Ways. The idea was that was a man with one face towards Christ and another face towards the world. And maybe, you know, there's somebody like that in our meeting today. Maybe some folk here, man or woman, and that describes you. That just sums up your spiritual condition. You're a Mr., maybe even a Mrs., facing both ways. You're not resolutely looking to Christ. You haven't got your complete focus, your complete gaze. Christ does not have your full attention. You're like the person the Savior spoke about. You're trying to serve two masters, one face towards Christ and another face towards the things of this world. If that is your condition, may the Lord speak to you about it today. Bunyan highlighted Mr. Facing Two Ways or Both Ways because it's not the right or desirable condition for a Christian to be in. And I want you to see that if that's your condition. I want you to look to Christ. Give him your full attention. Give him your whole heart. You dedicate in its entirety your life and your days and your time and your talents to him. But can I say, men and women, there is a sense, there is a time when it's good to face both ways. And we have been highlighting that today. Ebenezer and Jehovah Jireh. We look back a little. But as we look back from this standpoint in our lives, this standpoint in the year, we want to look forward as well to all that God has for us. And as we enter into what is to be a double anniversary here, we pray that God will have great blessings. We pray it'll be a year of the visitation of God. We pray it'll be the year of God's right hand amongst us, that he'll give us very clear and definite tokens for good in the work of God here in this city. And I encourage you, men and women, to pray to that end. There's a sense in which it's good and right to face both ways. The end of the year. We're looking back, men and women, and as we look back over 2014 and as we look back over 40 and 50 years, we do so today with thankful hearts. Hearts that praise and worship God for all his goodness, for his care of us, the provision that he has made. And as we look forward into 2015 and whatever other years God gives you upon this earth, whatever time God still has left for you, and whatever other years of witness this church has until Christ shall come again, we look forward with trust, brethren and sisters, back with thankfulness, and we look forward with trust. We take hope and encouragement from the fact that the God that has helped us and blessed us and provided for us to this time will do the same. He faileth not. He's a faithful God. His mercies are new every morning. And if they're new every morning, they're new every year as well, brethren and sisters. And the mercies that we have experienced, his faithfulness in past years, will be our same experience in days and years that are yet to come. So you think of those two Hebrew words, Ebenezer and Jehovah Jireh, and especially that Abraham called the name of that place, Jehovah Jireh. And those of you that in the will of God have the opportunity to stand on Mount Moriah and stand on Mount Calvary in 2015, remember this name, Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will see. The Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. May God bless his word to our hearts today. Number 46.